Hi, Julie. This is Michael here, and I just wanted to say before we get into the book, I'm really excited about the text, as I've mentioned to you on the phone. I think you have a really terrific subject matter here, as well as a great way with words. And I just want to tell you a little about how this process works. Essentially, I'll be going through the text and giving you feedback on it page by page, paragraph by paragraph, depending upon each page. Sometimes I'll be going very in-depth in a certain section. Other times, you won't hear comments for potentially a page or more. What I focus on in this report, generally, are those areas where you can improve the text. Now, what this can sometimes result in is a sense of overwhelm to the writer that, oh my God, there's all these things that are so wrong with my text. I just want to warn you ahead of time that is a very normal reaction, and it's not a correct response, because essentially what I'm doing here is giving you a checklist for areas that you can refine in your work. So think of it as an area of checklist of things that allow your text to become better, rather than my simply pointing out what's wrong. I also advise you that if you listen to this, to try to do it in a couple of sittings or three sittings. And then once you've done that, to talk with me about this, finally go back to the text and slowly go through this. Meaning go through it at a pace that feels comfortable to you. Again, it's really important to know that I really try to create the most supportive feedback that I can with my writers. And the feedback that I will be giving you is aiming to achieve that. Of course, I may have to stop in the middle of this to grab a bar of chocolate, but I'm sure you'll understand. Okay, so let's get started. I love this opening disclaimer page. It's wonderful, Julie. Your talent is just really apparent. I would suggest you change one thing on this. I dedicate this book to you, colon, and then the chocolate lovers of the world. I want to suggest for your table of contents, first of all, that you create a new page, specifically just for the table of contents, and that you format it with the first seven sections bolded, and then the next section called remedies, and then the other, all the different things, allergies, anemia, etc., to be under that unbolded. What I have done is attached a copy of this in the email to you so that you can get a sense of what I'm talking about. I'm sure to a certain extent you have some of this in mind already, but I just wanted to make it look as professional as possible. If you have questions about this, you know, one thing you should do is take a look at the table of contents of self-help or popular books in like Barnes & Noble and just see how they have formatted them. The more professional you can make your draft, the more ready it is for publishing. I would then come back at the end with the appendixes bolded again. And of course, I imagine that you will put a series of ellipses or dots going to the right-hand side of the page with page numbers for the chapters, or a page number for the chapter after each line, at the end of each line. Now, one of the things you'll notice, this is a side note, is I put page numbers on the manuscript just so that I could refer to the pages more easily, but obviously on the first few pages you wouldn't start the page numbers there. You would wait until you actually get to the text of the book. Just something to keep in mind. On page 7, you'll notice that I've indicated to replace some of your hyphens with an M dash. You can find the M dash on Microsoft Word by going to the Insert pull-down menu, go to Symbols, then go to the Special Characters tab. You'll see M dash there. You can insert it from that. Okay, Julie, on the bottom of page 7, you'll see a complex and complicated re-editing of the bottom paragraph. Essentially what I'm trying to do here, and which is something that you'll probably see me do in many situations in your text, is to create parallels. Parallels basically mean that you start a certain pattern, either within a sentence or across numerous sentences, and you maintain that pattern so that the rhythm of the writing reads smoothly. So, for example, this is how this bottom page should read. The investigation began immediately. The internet, libraries, newspapers, and trade journals shouted praises for the substance. At parties, the mere mention of the word chocolate started a swirl of intriguing conversations. And at the checkout stands, curious strangers in line poured forth elixir-like promises about the subject, while I purchased stacks of chocolate bars for additional research. Although I've made lots of editing marks up through the first half of page 8, I just want to indicate that overall, I'm really enjoying the text, and it's flowing well. So just to remind you, if I don't always comment on the fact that things are going well, if I'm not saying something to the contrary, it means that they're going fine. So I just wanted to remind you of that. Now, on the bottom of page 8, keep in mind, you want to keep things smooth and connected. So you finish the middle paragraph with a question. The key then is to eat the right kind of chocolate. But what exactly does that mean? You should immediately pick up on that and begin with the second sentence in the next paragraph. The right kind of chocolate contains at least 50% cocoa solids or more. At this point, you then need to explain, what is a cocoa solid? You can do something, you know, some version of that first sentence in that paragraph, but since you don't refer to a cocoa solid in that paragraph, you need to explain what that means. Just one short sentence, like, a cocoa solid is essentially the cocoa content within a cocoa bean, or something like that. Then you go back into, most high-quality chocolate bars contain, etc. Then I suggest the sentence that I've changed, that is, it takes a little effort to find them, to, you have to find them. I suggest you follow that sentence with something like, the best way to find them. You'll notice what I'm doing here is taking the same word or concept between different sections, whether it's between sentences or between paragraphs, and building upon it and going into the next subject. That creates a smooth, continual read for the reader. So you might say, but unfortunately, they aren't just lying around at the average checkout stand. You have to find them. New paragraph. The best place to find them is, or the best way to find them is, et cetera, et cetera. Short paragraphs, by the way, are always preferred to long paragraphs, particularly in popular works. Make it look to the reader like they've got something very easy before them to read. Also, I suggest that you indent all of your paragraphs, 5 spaces at the beginning in the first line. Alternatively, instead of doing the best place to find them or the best way to find them, you could start by saying, the worst place to look is the candy aisle of most grocery stores, comma, which reveals a selection so vast it could take hours to make a decision. And then you can say, many of the products contain the highest level of fat and sugar throughout the United States. Then you could say, instead, the best way to find them is, etc. So just look at it that way. You might consider the worst place to look is this, and then say, on the other hand, then take the rest of that paragraph that talks about the websites, the conventional shopping appendix B, all of this language that I know you know is clunky and dry and not the funny Julie that we love to read, and compact it into about 2 sentences. So you might have something simple like, on the other hand, the best places to look for the high-quality chocolate are the internet, and then you can have parentheses, with over 700,000 websites devoted to chocolate, close parentheses, comma, natural food grocery stores, and then you could say gourmet grocery stores, and even at the back of this book. But don't tell us what Appendix B contains, and we don't need to know the conventional shopping methods. Just try that sentence that I suggested, and you can delete the rest of it. Then you might end, however, with a sentence like, you know, a sentence that is a shorter version of with these kinds of choices at your fingertips. So you could just use that sentence at the end of the paragraph. And along the lines of keeping things brief, I don't think you need to really explain exactly what's going to be happening in each section of your book in this introduction. The reason I suggest that is this is a fun book. Unlike other self-help books, let's say a book on overcoming depression, that may be the kind of book that needs an introduction where the authors explain. You'll notice the book is divided into four parts. In the first part, we talk about how to diagnose yourself and see if you have the condition. Second part, we talk about medications available, whatever. In your introduction, I suggest that you instead summarize essentially what your book is going to contain without going through what reads like an abstract. So let me make a suggestion for how you might write it. So remember, we're going to finish that one paragraph with, these kinds of choices at your fingertips. There's no excuse for not finding the perfect quality chocolate to fit your every whimsical mood or desire. First, let's talk about the language. Let's start this section that summarizes the book with something like this. Here's how to use this book and get the chocolate as quickly as possible. Then you can put a colon. And I suggest you have like five bullet points, each with a short line, so it just breaks up the text and people can read it easily. And perhaps instead of using bullet points, use some quirky little chocolate symbol or something like that for the bullet points. So a chocolate symbol or candy bar or something like that. So that way you can have something like a brief history, you know, healthy investigation and proper chocolate consumption. This will also force you to describe those sections in a line or maybe two and just go through all the sections. Then I suggest for the section on the paragraph at the bottom of page 9, that's about self-diagnose, self-medicate, where you explain how the elements are alphabetized, etc., take that information and put it in the section on ailments. Don't explain in detail this now. You can simply say, you know, the extensive self-medicate tells you or describes how to use chocolate to alleviate an assortment of health problems. That's simple. Then what I would do is this last section about the prescription recommended bars and supporting evidence. You can leave as is. Then on page 10, this big paragraph about most of the recommended bars are made from dark organic chocolate was by far the best choice for health. You can compact. I suggest follow the line edits I've made. Okay, on page 10, I suggest that you take this paragraph that I've line edited and move it to page 9 after the, you know, where you tell them where to shop and find the chocolate. This is the section, so then you'd insert the section about going to the dark side. That will allow, on page 10, for you to flow from supporting evidence, finishing with that sentence, then the next sentence will be, or the next paragraph, which will follow that, will be, there are hundreds of experiments presently being conducted on chocolate. That follows, supporting evidence, experiments, it seems like there's a somewhat of a transition going in there. Then I would take that little section about the pharmacist friend and move it to the bottom of page 7 at the end of the three things, you know, the internet and libraries, the parties, and the counter, the people in line and what they're saying. You can top it off with the pharmacist friend there. And if it doesn't fit, then maybe you could save it for some other section. I'm just trying to get this short and trying to get the reader as quickly as possible into your ailments section. You'll notice on page 11 I have circled the final paragraph and said for you to save it for some other section. It seems a little disjointed, and I figure it's nice to end on the idea of health benefits. So between the two of us, we enjoy the broadest range of health benefits. New paragraph, so take a moment to learn the basics. Then off to chocolate therapy, you too can go! So that's what I suggest you do, and then you can save this other these other lines perhaps for this, one of the other subsections of the book, which I'll see as we get there.
Page 17, three chairs of chocolate should be italicized. Anytime you have the title of a book, it should be italicized. If this is an article, then leave it in quotations.
Julie, I'm loving this book. I'm just fascinated by this whole thing about the order in which to eat chocolate and eating it on an empty stomach. It's funny, I was reading this and I had to go get some chocolate, so I drove to the grocery store. So I was in there, I thought, well, I better buy a bunch of healthier food first. I bought all this healthy food, ate a whole bunch of it, and then getting to the chocolate just didn't seem to be as thrilling as it would have been, I imagine, had I just eaten on an empty stomach. So thanks. On page 20, I suggest you insert a phrase at the end of the first paragraph that just reminds the reader of what you just taught them. So I suggest you end the paragraph this way. It could be disastrous to eat the chocolate out of order because you might not fully benefit from the many varied flavors of the feast. Again, remember, colon, milk chocolate, or sorry, white chocolate, then milk, and finally dark. Something like that. Otherwise, this last sentence about the sumptuous experience is a little confusing, so keep it a little bit simple there. Julie, I'm really enjoying this book. I'm on page 27 now, and I feel like I'm learning a lot, and I'm really just enjoying it. Most of the changes I've marked on the manuscript, because it's just more efficient that way. Now, the one thing that does begin to rise in my consciousness at the end of page 26 is the question of, well, what's in it for you? In other words, I seem to remember you'd mentioned to me the thing of selling chocolate. That could, it may not, but that could compromise this book to some degree. And especially this line, if so, consider following a preventative program of eating a small collection of healthy chocolates every day. Now, that's wonderful, and it's funny, but I guess it just occurred to me, like, well, I wonder if this person, like, has stock in chocolate. One way to perhaps temper that reaction is to include a sentence in this paragraph along the lines of, keep on top, or keep checking up on, or and as you continue to enjoy the advantages of chocolate, continually look for new research about its uses for additional ailments or for additional health concerns. And then you could say, with over 200 antioxidants, whatever it is, it's quite likely we have yet to see the best to come. Something like that. So they sort of reduce it back to science as opposed to just your own enthusiasm. So again, just include some sentence about, I suggest you continue to look to science and keep your eyes out for stories about chocolate in the news as to additional benefits you might gain. Something along those lines. The point of all that is to sort of say, don't just listen to me, listen to what the experts say. That sort of reduces and deflates the sense that you're just promoting chocolate yourself. Okay, Julie, let's take a look now at the prescription section on page 27. Here what I'm seeing again is the tendency to go into sort of clunky, dry, less personal language, and I know you've mentioned that to me again, but what I want to do is really encourage you to use your talent for conversational style writing and humor as often as possible. So even though this is prescriptions and in a sense it is a serious nature, I want to encourage you to try to utilize your humor and colloquial tone right from the start here. So let's take a look, for example, at the first sentence. The prescriptions contain the information you need to get started on your way to health through chocolate. Okay, that's clunky and impersonal. What if you started something with either here's the key to conversational intimate writing. You need to use the terms I, you, and me. But the most important ones are I and you. When you lead sentences off with the word I or you, you are writing in a personal way.
So keep that in mind. Remember, I and you. I and you. It's sort of like a mantra. I and you. Okay. You should be thinking about that when going through your draft here. So what you might start with is something like, I first discovered the healing power of chocolate when I had a headache one night. Tell a very short story and say, what I realized is that chocolate can help with many ailments. You will find this is true for yourself as well, or you will find that this is true too. What I have listed here for you is a series of prescriptions to help you get well by eating chocolate. And maybe by eating chocolate. Okay? So consider that. And then the stuff in here that is good and personal is feel free to replace your favorite bar wherever it's appropriate. I've also recommended. Those are nice. So you keep those two sentences, and then after that, you've got to end with something personal again. Something to the effect of, so now it's time for you to, that's right, eat chocolate. Something like that. So remember, we want to keep it upbeat, personal, as opposed to ending it off with superior nutritional benefits per gram. Okay? I hope you're enjoying the humor in this, Julie. You know, compare superior nutritional benefits per gram with now you get to eat chocolate. So think about that. Give yourself the gift of having fun and letting that side of Julie, that excitement that I hear when I'm talking to you on the phone, the personal love for this, put that first, okay? And let that be really sort of the container in which you hold these other sort of more scientific, more prescriptive types of sentences. Your readers will respond and they will be open to the information more. So just really what we're talking about is just a few extra sentences here, three maybe, but it will make a big difference at the beginning of the prescriptions because somebody may turn to this page. And remember, if somebody randomly turns to a page in your book, whether browsing in the store or something, make sure every page is going to say, hey, this is a cool, fun book. You know, the question they should ask themselves is, do I feel good reading this? And the answer should always be yes. Okay, now let's get into prescriptions. I want to talk a little about formatting here. Avoid underline when possible. Rather, use bold. So instead of underlining allergies, underlining supportive evidence, underlining anemia, I would say bold it. You know, and then if you want, maybe make supportive evidence italicized. Another idea that I had, and this could be for perhaps an expanded or definitely a published version of this book where the publisher is providing you with some extra funding for this, is some photos to go along with some of the prescriptions. For example, you might have a photo under the allergy section of somebody sneezing where you say before, and then you have a photo of them afterwards like eating and indulging in chocolate and it says after. Might be really funny and really nice. Just some thoughts. I want to just point out that I'm making some notes on the manuscript here just to break up the length of the sentences to try to keep them simple. So when somebody reads a prescription, it's just easy and simple. So just take note of that. Page 28. Julie, if you can, I would suggest that you footnote as much as possible whenever you make a scientific claim. For example, chocolate contains theobromine, which has recently been shown to offer the same cough-suppressing advantages as codeine. Then I would put a number one at the end of that sentence and have a footnote at the back of your book, a section of footnotes where you'd say, see, you know, New England Journal of Medicine, such and such, or wherever it is you found the information. It will just strengthen the weight of your book. Bottom of page 28, you'll notice also to avoid some of the passive language. So I changed this thing here. It says, according to a prominent allergist at the National Jewish Medical Research Center, in 30 years of allergy testing for chocolate, they found less than 35 cases of actual allergic reactions to chocolate. Now, I don't know if it's the whoever it was that did this study, but try to make it an active sentence with a subject. You know, they found as opposed to have been documented. We want to avoid that weak language if possible. One thing that occurs to me is to, well, actually a few things occur to me. One is my concern about caffeine. I don't see that you'd mentioned the issue of caffeine and how it might affect people. And so that may be coming later in the text. I don't know. I'm on page 29 at this point, but something to consider because I know a lot of people don't eat chocolate because of the caffeine. Another thing is you might consider having some little insert quotes, you know, like in those idiot guides or in those dummies guides, you'll see like a little insert. And what you might do is sprinkle, you know, in certain places in the prescription section, a little story about somebody, you know, funny chocolate stories that you've collected along the way, or how chocolate made people's lives better. It'd just be a nice sort of, like, pickup in between the prescriptions. You don't have to have one every page, but you might consider sprinkling them through. And another thing I was thinking of is to have some sort of cartoon character. I know this is going much further beyond the basic scope of this text, but just somebody to think about who is a chocolate bar. And I was thinking perhaps the end of the book would be a page, an illustration of you. The back would be an illustration, it would be an illustration of you or somebody, person, man, woman, with his arm around a bar of chocolate, who's also got arms and legs, overlooking some sort of mountain vista with the sun setting over the sea, the sun in the shape of a big heart. You know, and it's, you're seeing it from the backs of these people. Just some sort of like beautiful way of sort of coming to peace with chocolate. Another thing that you should check on is the trademarks of the names of the chocolate bars. I imagine many of them are trademarked. If that's the case, you may need to include the TM symbol. If they are trademarked, you need to include the TM symbol after each of the names. You know, the other great thing that you can think about in terms of marking this thing, which perhaps you have thought about, is every company that you mention in here should have a link to your book on their website. I mean, really, you're helping to promote their chocolates. They should be selling your book. So you can think about perhaps having your book on there. You could certainly advertise, talking about doing that, and mention that you mentioned their products in there. So think about that. I mean, I'm sure you have thought about the enormous marketing potential for this book, chocolate stores and stuff. And I know that you're looking at selling chocolate yourself on your website, which is great. But I just want to suggest that think of all these other venues which you will be helping to drive business to and which could drive business back to you. The quoting the Echo Bell mass box, again, you might need to get permission. I suggest you do for that. And the other thing is, in addition to that, you consider them as a good approbation for the book. You might even have a quote from one of their scientists or their PR person here explaining. You can say, I asked the director of research at Echo Bella how it works, and this is what she said, and then quote her. That might be more interesting, engaging than simply reading off the back of the box. I suggest you do that. Page 31, consider the description of the chocolate bars. I'm not sure if you're capitalizing all of the items that are actually in the chocolate bar's name. For example, Terra Nostra Organic Intense Dark Chocolate. Now, is Organic Intense Dark Chocolate part of that chocolate bar's name, or are you simply describing it? If it's part of the chocolate bar's name, then you need to title case, that is, capitalize the first letter in each of those words. So you may want to check that. These are some of the things that, fortunately, you should fact check in terms of just making sure that your book is tight. Bottom page 31, I'm a little confused. Are polyphenols different than catechins? If they are, I'm not sure why you introduce catechins and then say, but I'm really going to show you how they compare in terms of polyphenols. So just clarify that if they are indeed different, then you need to give a justification as to why polyphenols are being used rather than catechins. And then I'm assuming that you would, in your ultimate draft, have the table formatted in a nice way, maybe with even some illustration or something like that, something funny. Just something to think about. In the table, I would also change the 50 grams with the two asterisks to 50 grams and then put or one regular size bar equals 300 milligrams. That way the person just gets the information right away. Definitely consider inserting a story, you know, one of those little insert stories on page 32 at this point where, you know, we've been in descriptions for several pages. We definitely need some kind of break from it to break things up. I would have one every 2 to 3 pages. I think it would be good, or an illustration or something like that. God, if you could get an ad on any website or any product that appeals to that Kathy comic strip fans, wow, that'll probably make you a trillionaire. Again, bottom of page 32, studies have shown that arthritic conditions, etc. These are things that you'd want to footnote. And you could just have a note section in the back where you can have this information. Now, you don't have to footnote it, but you might want to have in the back, you know, separate things by page numbers and just talk about, have a little section where people can look up studies. Because I realize you don't want to make this read too much like a scientific paper, but it may provide people with a sense of scientific resiliency behind this book. I changed some of the asthma stuff and got rid of sitting beside a fireside because my mom suffers from asthma and she lives in Fresno, and her asthma usually flares up. It's usually about 85 to 90 degrees outside, and Fresno has, I think, the worst asthma rates in the country. So, plus burning fires creates more pollution, which causes more asthma. So, just something to consider. In the supporting evidence on page 33, when you mention foreign substances, you should give some examples, like, for example, pollen or dust, something like that. And what are histamines? You know what's fascinating is that I suffer horribly from hay fever, and I always crave chocolate when I'm in that situation. And I honestly feel it makes me feel better. So I think you're right. If you need a story from me, I'll be happy to give you one. Bottom page 33, at the end of the supporting evidence section there, I suggest that you finish with the sentence after, about the peppermint oil, where you say, it's regularly found in cough syrups, ointments, nasal decongestants, and inhalants. But you can, you know, enjoy all of its properties with a simple cup of tea, but you can purchase it at any health food store and just add it into a glass of hot water, something like that. Julie, did I mention that this is so fascinating? I really love this book. And I have to say, I don't say that very often about the books I read. Sometimes they're very interesting, sometimes they're compelling, but it's rare that I actually love a book. And I love this book. It's great. Page 35, notice I changed this passive sentence to an active one. I put a subject at the beginning, I, and a verb. I recommend this particular Dago Babar because it contains cinnamon. The or is the way to make it more active and to make the writing more personal and less removed from the reader. Page 36. It's very funny, the caffeine thing. I suggest here maybe a good place, you know, where you would have one of those little insert gray boxes or something like that, talking about the caffeine in chocolate and how healthy or not healthy it is for people who are trying to stay caffeine-free. For example, I know a lot of people can't drink green teas, and they're frustrated because they contain so much caffeine. You know, I also want to say, Julie, it's very apparent how much work you did put into this book, and you should really give yourself a pat on the back, raise your hands high up in the air, clasp them, and say, I did it. If you're not doing that at this moment, Julie, you should stop this recorder and just do it. You deserve it. Okay, at bottom of page 37, where you have this little parenthetical phrase, levianchocolate.com, that would be something that you would put in the footnote section of the book. So you could put a little number there and then put it in the notes section of the book for page 37. I wouldn't put it right there because it's the first time you've done that, and it just takes the reader out of the place. The constipation thing, it seems like chocolate is really an afterthought. I'm not quite sure how the chocolate helps eliminate the waste. It seems like it's just something to sort of flavor the almonds. So perhaps you can make that more clear. Such a great sense of humor. I love this thing on page 40. Although none of these ailments is specifically depression, avoiding them by eating healthier foods provides considerably less reason to be depressed. Beautiful. Don't forget to trademark the word Snickers, page 41. I don't understand why you have the sentence, on average 6 pounds of fruit must be reduced to create 1 pound of dried fruit. It seems, it just needs some explanation, like expand upon it. In other words, on average 6 pounds of fruit must be reduced to create 1 pound of dried fruit. As a result, by eating dried fruit, you get six times the value that you would by eating whole food, something like that. And this means, etc. Now, notice again a lot of passive sentences. Must be reduced in the next sentence. This is done. Okay. Start with the subject. We need a subject, not the object. Okay. So, on average, it takes 6 pounds of fruit to create 1 pound of dried fruit. And yet, the dried fruit loses neither caloric or vitamin value or strength, something like that. Or neither loses calories or vitamins. Next sentence, instead of are readily absorbed, remember passive, when you see a verb of being followed by a past tense verb, like are followed by absorb, it's a passive sentence. So, how about, the body readily absorbs sugars and fruit, including glucose and fructose. Page 41, Tic Tacs, probably need a trademark. Julie, question for you, and you can maybe email me on this sometime. How does Cadbury milk, dairy milk chocolate rate? That is my favorite chocolate in the world, and I don't think anything tastes quite as good, but I imagine it's just loaded with junk. So your thoughts on that? You certainly could have a chat board on your website. Okay, page 45. I'm frequently changing such and such as recommended to I recommend to make things active. From here on out, I'm just going to let you rely on your own revision, just for the time's sake, to go through and look for any sentence where you say, for example, chocolate love is recommended or such and such is recommended, and change it to I recommend whatever the product is. The converting to the dark chocolate thing would be a great example of something that you would have shaded or would look different in the formatting of the book. You may already have that in mind, but just thought I'd add my 2 cents in there on that one because I think it's something that provides a nice break in the prescription section. Page 46, Carl Keane. There's a good guy for an approbation. Love the section on heartbreak. You're doing great, Julie. Okay, starting on page 47 onwards, anytime you have a double hyphen, change it to an M dash, as I've indicated. I'll no longer circle those and just rely on you to do that as a global change. You can use Control H in Microsoft Word to do a replace all. On page 48, you need to explain why the American Dietetic Association for the chocolate can benefit the heart. They would also be another great approbation for the book. Bottom page 48, don't block justify the text. Agents hate that. Just keep it regularly justified. Page 49, another approbation guy, Norman Hollenberg. By the way, you can do a global check on this and go through and make the appropriate changes to each page. When you have the recommended bar section, unless you have a complete sentence there, you can drop the period at the end of each one. I circled this, for example, on page 50. Page 51, the researchers at Penn State, more approbation. Julie, on page 52, you'll notice that I changed in the second paragraph, 1OZ, to 1 ounce, spelling out the words. I haven't, in general, made a change in the grammar of the use of numerals versus spelled out words. Generally, the rule is numbers between 1 and 9 are supposed to be spelled out, and above 9 you can use numerals. But because this is a sort of more of a pop culture kind of book, I left the numerals as is. And I don't think it should be a problem. But I'm just putting that out there for you. If you decide that you want it to be more strict, then it certainly won't hurt anything. But I think, given that a lot of this is prescriptive, having the visual numerals makes more sense. So in case you get feedback to, contrary to what I've just said, that's why I've chosen to stay with the numerals. In this case, I changed it because it just didn't read well for the 1 ounce. Watch out for passive sentences again on the bottom of page 52. Page 55, bottom. Got to get an approbation from the Harvard School of Public Health. That, for the study about living longer, brilliant. That should be on the cover of the book. Go for it, Julie. Page 57, really watch out for this passive writing. Are released in the second big paragraph there, or many of the sensations experienced. Remember, look for subjects. We need subjects in many of these sentences. Definitely, now that I'm deep into the prescriptive section, I want to reaffirm my suggestion to have anecdotal stories sprinkled every few pages. It's beginning to get a little dry, the prescription stuff. Even though it's fascinating, it's losing its fascination because there's no change in the rhythm of the language and our experience of it. It's, in other words, it starts to become too much information. Now, if people just read this and they flip to a certain page to look up an ailment, that's fine. But if you want them to read it perhaps cover to cover, having some of those stories would be great. And it will be another thing that people will enjoy, because people love stories. So just think about it. And the stories only need to be a paragraph or two. Or great chocolate moments in history, even, you could have. You could have little illustrations with them. Now, you may not put all of this in the first version of the book, but I think you will find that adding that other sort of stream of reading experience in here will make the book as a whole much more dynamic and rich, very much like a rich bar of chocolate. Julie, on the bottom of page 60, top 61, I think you have an opportunity for a humor. When you say, better to snap off the corner of a chocolate bar than to start a fight with your significant other, yell at the kids. I suggest maybe something like, better to snap off the corner of a chocolate bar than your lover's head. Something like that. Play on the pun of, snapping off. Top page 62, what is a regular basis? Page 62, okay, I've heard about the 400 plus flavor compounds now, many, many times in the book. It's starting to lose its effect. I'm still not sure, other than the pleasure, what the flavor compounds do to make me feel better. Whereas the antioxidants and all the chemicals I understand, but the flavor compounds I'm still not sure about. Maybe I've forgotten. But in any case, the 400 plus thing is sort of losing its interestingness. So you might think about just focusing on, you might just think about saying it differently, like, plus, you know, the rich texture and swirl of flavors will definitely keep you interested and make you feel better. That's on the middle paragraph on page 62. Page 63, 64, I really loved the section on love and chocolate. Well, I think it did very nicely. It's very interesting, and it's a nice, refreshing change from the standard pattern in the prescription section. I also made a change here. Instead of chocolate appears to be the ideal partner of passion, I just said chocolate is passion, and I would italicize the word is. You know, Julie, one of the questions I have about chocolate is I'm looking at the back of this chocolate bar. It's dark chocolate, and it says that there's no vitamin A and no vitamin C, and I seem to be under the impression from your book that these things are contained in chocolate. Maybe you could explain or address that if you don't. I haven't gotten, obviously, under your book, but it's a concern that I had. I also really love, on page 66, this comparison of grams of sugar. That's really awesome. On the bottom of page 68, where you say, and circulating insulin promotes fat deposits, you need to restate this in a different way. I would just say lower blood sugar means lower levels of insulin in the blood, period. Lower levels of insulin means less fat deposits, period. And then go right into your sentence about keep the insulin out of the bloodstream. Trying to change the passive sentences, middle paragraph, page 69, instead of this could be accounted for, there's the passive again, a verb being followed by past tense, be accounted. Try something more active. Since nuts contain so much fiber, comma, it's quite possible that they are not completely digested. You know, I'm not sure why you put the prices in the list of chocolates on 76, 77. My guess is that those prices are so likely to change between the time that you publish this and somebody gets the book that you know, you might consider just dropping them altogether. If you have a good reason for putting them in, then, you know, let me know. But I don't know why they need to be there. Watch the bottom of page 77, top 78. You have some more passive sentences there. Instead of most brands that carry Whole Foods, just say Whole Foods carries most brands. Same at the top of 78. Hey, Julie, for 79, you've got your email there. Why advertise Comcast? Might I suggest you go to GoDaddy.com, register a name of a website for $9, and get, which will come with one email, and then you can basically just set it up and you can have, you know, DocChalk at thechocolatetherapist.com. And you don't even have to have an actual website, so to speak. As far as I understand, you don't actually have to have a website. The email will just come to you there. So just think about that. You can call GoDaddy. It's GoDaddy.com. The reason I suggest them is because they're the least expensive I know in terms of hosting, and you can get things done really quickly, and they've got really good customer service. Then we get to the section at the bottom with the recipes, and I suggest that you take the recipe names and bold them rather than underline them. And you may also consider putting the chocolate recipe request at the end rather than the beginning. But that's just purely a subjective sense on my own behalf. That if you feel good about having it at the beginning, then leave it there. Here again would be a great place for illustrations or photos to keep the book more lively and to inspire people to actually cook the stuff. I definitely prefer cookbooks that have photos and then secondarily illustrations. Cookbooks that don't have any illustrations don't inspire me. It looks like work. On page 84, consider dropping the underline under glycemic index. Okay, let's look at your references section.
the first entry on here that really follows a good footnote format is the Brand Miller, Jeannie, Barani, Johanna, Foster, Powell, K. By the way, it looks like it's misspelled Powell, the Glucose Revolution Life Plan. But there's some things that need to be changed. First of all, you should italicize the Glucose Revolution Life Plan. That's the name of the book. You need to put a period after the word 2000. And in all these other things, really see if you can find the name of the author and list it. I'm going to include an email link to you with formatting for footnotes, as it will be easier for you to visually see it than for me to explain it here on the tape. Well, Julie, I've come to the end of your book, and I want to say I'm very impressed. You really did a delightful job with a subject that is delicious, fascinating, and altogether popular. My main suggestion for improving the quality of the book, besides all the little editing notes that I made on the lines themselves, is to add in some anecdotal stories every couple of pages to keep the reading more lively. Secondly, if you can, to add some illustrations or photos. But the main thing is at least some sort of stories or story to keep things going, perhaps even comic strips having to do with chocolate. So just something to think about, because there may be the type of reader like myself who will want to read from cover to cover. Now, having said that, you could certainly publish this in its present form. But I feel that it would be improved with that one main suggestion. What I say for you to do now is to make all the minor changes that I've indicated throughout the text. Get the text as clean as possible. Get the approbations. And while you're trying to get the approbations, see if you can get some chocolate stories to put in, even just a few, even if you have, say, 10 throughout the book, or 8 throughout the book. It will add something really nice to the text. And then if you're anxious to get this out, you can publish it at that level and then continue to see about perhaps getting illustrations, photos, or a cartoonist who is willing to contribute a comic strip, perhaps like Kathy or something like that. All of these, of course, are more complex and take more time, but it's just something to think about as ways of improving your product and making it even more attractive to an agent. Remember, the goal is to make something that's just like phenomenally attractive to an agent, because you want them to have a phenomenally excited reaction when promoting a book. You really have a great product here, and with these refinements, you'll have a product that can sell very well, in this editor's humble opinion. So, feel free to call with questions, and if the editing process gets too overwhelming, I'm sure you can just reach for a near bar of dark chocolate. Take care. Thanks again.
She might come over. Okay. Do those change colors?
They do.
Wow, my God.
Yeah, they're totally great.
So I have to go and burn my tomatoes.
Oh, good reminder. I could burn mine.
Four lunches.
7:15 or 50? Okay, thanks. Bye.